have like use these to encode the data of the observables of field theory. So he mentioned the factorization algebras like observables of like classical field theories and observables of a quantum field theory. But yeah, you should be thinking of them as like a co-sheaf type thing. Okay, so today I want to talk about two different flavors of factorization algebras. And what do I mean by that? So let me start with like maybe a menu that you're like more familiar with, the different flavors of sheaves. So for sheaves, there's kind of two different things that we can talk about. We can talk about a sheaf on the opens of some fixed manifold. So they can think of them as on the opens of a fixed manifold M. But you could also think about sheaves where you allow your like manifold to vary. So you could think of it as a sheaf on the site of all manifolds of a given dimension. And there's an analogous thing with factorization algebras. And I want to be talking about kind of like two different flavors of factorization algebras that are analogous to this. So one flavor is going to be factorization algebras on a specific manifold that are G equivariant. And then the second flavor of factorization algebras that I want to talk about are going to live on a site of manifolds that are all equipped with a certain geometric structure. So this geometric structure I'm going to denote by the script G. So I'm going to call it G factorization algebras, where this is giving me a geometric structure. Okay, so my goal for today's talk is to define these two notions and then to sketch a proof that's that relates the two of them. But before I go into that, some motivation about why we should care about these type of things. So one reason to care about these is that factorization algebras are related to functorial field theories. So a couple of results that are known here. So Claudia Scheinbauer has shown how from what's called a locally constant factorization algebra, one can construct a fully extended topological field theory. But as you know, like when we want to talk about completely physical field theories that we care about, we don't want to just be talking about topological ones. We want to be able to incorporate some geometry. So a result that's moving in that direction is given by Bill Dwyer, Stefan Stoltz, and Peter Teichner. And they show how to move from one of these like geometric factorization algebras to a twisted like geometric field theory. So kind of like where this narrative or this story that I'm going to tell kind of fits in is the idea that if we want to understand what these geometric field theories are, it would be nice to understand more about these geometric factorization algebras. And it's like this is like part of our like the story about these geometric factorization algebras, and it's kind of like a nice result to be able to relate these to factorization algebras on a specific specific model space. Okay, so I want to start off by defining what these G factorization algebras are. And in order to do that, I need to have this category of manifolds equipped with the G structure. So for the whole talk, I'm going to be fixing M to be a manifold, G to be a Lie group that acts on the manifold. And then I'm going to denote by script G this pair of the Lie group and the manifold M. Okay, so the category that my factorization algebras are going to live over is going to be the category of all like manifolds equipped with this G structure. So it's going to be a symmetric monoidal category. And I'm going to note G-man, where the objects of these categories are manifolds equipped with G structure. So what that means is I have a manifold with a maximal atlas where the charts give a like kind of say that M locally looks like, or sorry, X locally looks like opens in M. So I have diffeomorphisms to opens in M. And then in addition, I have a collection of elements in G, which give the transition functions between these charts. So if I have two charts in my atlas, and I want to look at the transition function, this is going to be given by an element of the group G. And these are required to satisfy a cocycle condition. So if I look at Gij and then Gjk, that should be the same thing as Gik. The morphisms in this category are going to be G structure preserving embeddings. And the symmetric monoidal structure is going to be given by disjoint union. Okay, so what are some examples of such like G structures that I care about? So I'm going to give a chart where I have different pairs of M and G. So one structure that you could want to put on your manifold would be a Euclidean structure. So this would be taking the model space to be Rn, and then the group G would be the group consisting of the translations and the rotations. So the translations are given by Rn, and then I'm going to set my direct product with the rotations. Another example of interest could be Euclidean spin structure. So this one is going to be similar, but I'm going to replace On by spin N, or Euclidean conformal structure. So yeah, like you could be interested in like these type of structures, which are like geometric. They're incorporating like geometry beyond just the topological examples. Okay, so now that we have this category of G manifolds, we're ready to define what a G factorization algebra should be. So a G factorization algebra is going to be a functor out of this category of G-man into chain complexes. In particular, it's going to be a lax symmetric monoidal, is lax symmetric monoidal functor. Which satisfies two additional properties. So first axiom is the multiplicative or factorization axiom. What does this say? This says that if we take x1 dot through xn objects in Gman, the fact that we have a lax symmetric monoidal functor tells us that we have a map from f of x1 tensor through f of xn into f of the disjoint union. And then the multiplicative axiom says that these maps are all going to be weak equivalences. The second axiom that we require is a descent condition. So this says that for a certain type of like cover of X, so I'm going to define that type of cover in just a second, but the technical name is for Weiss cover. So for any Weiss cover U, of X, The factorization algebra evaluated on X can be recovered by taking a homotopy colimit over a diagram involving the size cover. So it's going to be a homotopy colimit where I take F applied to elements of the Weiss cover, and then look at F applied to, you can kind of think of this as like intersections. So it's like the pullback of these elements. So we have like single intersections, or like double intersections, triple intersections, and so on. And we require that this is tweak equivalence. Okay. So let me say explicitly what these covers are. So a Weiss cover of X is a covering of X that satisfies the property such that for any finite set of points in X, so points S in X, we require that there is an element of this Weiss cover that contains this S. So more precisely, we say that there exists a UA Weiss cover such that S is contained in FA of UA. Any questions so far? Okay.
What was the target category in this?
This is the category of chain complexes or co-chain complexes.
And also, so L is the space in which the theory lives, right?
X. So. Wait, sorry. I don't know if I can hear X or M. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, so. I'm not, like, X is like our G manifold, so it's like the manifold that's like modeled on M. M is just like our model space. I don't know, does that answer that question? Yeah, Theo.
It lives on all such manifolds with that structure.
Right, yeah, we want to take all of the G manifolds, yeah.
Is there a simple example of an X? You have examples of M and G?
Yeah, so I mean, like, if you had any, kind of like, manifold with, like, Euclidean structure, or like any manifold with, like, a Euclidean metric, like for that first example, that flat Riemannian metric would be given by like pulling back what you have on Rn to X, like via the charts. Yeah.
For example, torus would be an example of a flat metric with a Kleinbach.
Okay, so that's the first flavor of factorization algebras. Let me move to the second flavor. So let me describe what these G equivariant factorization algebras on M should be. Let's just put another piece of chalk up here. Okay. While our kind of like general G factorization algebras lived on the site of like all G manifolds, these like factorization algebras on M should be like restricted to like living on some like things that are kind of like related to the open subsets of M. So let me first define what that category is that we're going to be talking about. I'm going to denote it by dished M. So this is going to be a full subcategory of G-man. Which consists of finite disjoint unions of connected open subsets of M. Then my G equivariant factorization algebras on M are going to be defined analogously, but just using this as the source category. So it's going to be a lax symmetric monoidal functor. F hat from dished M into chain complexes, which satisfies a multiplicative axiom and a descent axiom analogous to those before. Okay, so for those of you who are familiar with factorization algebras, this looks like a different definition than maybe like what you've seen. And my claim is that this is like equivalent to the definition that's given in, for example, Costello and Williams' book. And I don't want to go into the proof of that because of time, but I want to just note a few facts that will hopefully kind of like, I know, provide a little bit of evidence that these are the same. So I want to note two things. The first thing is that if you take like U1 through UK, which are all disjoint open subsets in V, and these are all disjoint open or are all open subsets in M, then what does this like definition give us? Like what structure do we have? So the fact that we have a lax symmetric monoidal property tells us that we have a map from the tensor product of all of these into F hat evaluated on the disjoint union. And then the fact that the U1 through UK are disjoint in V means that we have an embedding from this disjoint union into V. And so functoriality gives us a map into this. And this composite here is what would be called the structure map in other formulations of factorization algebras. So what we have is, in fact, or like what we our F hat, in fact, gives a factorization algebra on M in the Costello and Williams framework. The second observation that I want to make is that the map from U into G of U, given by the G action, so this is like isomorphism in our category of dish M, the inverse map is going to be given by the action of G inverse. So this gives us quasi-isomorphisms from F hat of U into F hat of GU, and it's the like data of these quasi-isomorphisms that in other frameworks is taken as like the definition of what a G-equivariant factorization algebra on M is. So I don't know, just like a couple of pieces of like evidence that this is a, it's a definition that makes sense to think about. But I want to not spend more time discussing those like equivalent definitions. I want to move on to a comparison theorem between these two flavors of factorization algebras. As you can ask, I can see if I think I can answer quickly.
You talk about weak equivalences, but then you want to use chain complexes as a strict category. You're playing those off a little bit, which is great.
Okay.
How sort of homotopical versus strict is your notion of G-equivariance, or does it matter?
I'm not sure if this is. I might need to like get more details of the question, but I mean these are quasi-isomorphisms here. Does that help say like what the G-equivariant, how loose of the G-equivariance?
I'll ask you more details there.
Later. Okay. So in the last 7 minutes, I want to talk about the comparison between these two different flavors. I'm going to put this as a theorem in quotation marks because it's still work in progress. But my claim is that these G factorization algebras are equivalent to the G equivariant factorization algebras on M. I want to just kind of give like a heuristic sketch of like the idea behind like why this works. So we have like two categories. We have the category of the G factorization algebras, and we have the category of the factorization algebras on M that are G equivariant. And this equivalence is like witnessed by like two functors that are comparing these two categories. So I want to like define, or like illustrate what these functors are. So the functor in one direction, like the top direction, is more straightforward. So given a G factorization algebra, how do you construct a G equivariant factorization algebra on M? So suppose you have a G factorization algebra. You want to construct a G equivariant factorization algebra on M. Well, this is a full subcategory of G-man, so you can just take you can just take this to be defined as the restriction of F to that full subcategory on M. And then it inherits, this is not full? Oh, I wanted to define it to be a full subcategory. So I debate about if my definition is, okay. Yeah, I guess maybe, is there a string for that one? I don't know if I can find a string for that one. I'll move to this one. Yeah, so in this category, dished M, I want to have, as like formal or abstract, like disjoint union. So I allow things that are of the form like M disjoint union M. And like that, maybe it's like what's, or I don't know, we can discuss it later, I guess.
That's what full means.
Okay. So let me just like quickly give a sketch of how this move in the other direction works. So here we want to say that suppose we have a G equivariant factorization algebra on M, and we want to somehow define our G factorization algebra on all G manifolds. So if we have a setup like this, like a natural tool of like extending this functor that maybe like kind of like would jump out as you as like a way to, something you'd like to do, would be take the left Kahn extension. So if I define F to be the left Kahn extension along I of F hat. So I'm going to denote this as I lower streak of F hat just for like notational conciseness. Then we have to check three things. We have to check that this is lax metric monoidal, that it's multiplicative, and that it satisfies the descent axiom. So the lax metric monoidal property is something that we just get from the properties of the left Kahn extension. So Damian mentioned something similar to this yesterday when he was talking about how like left Kahn extensions along the EN monoidal functors. So that we get. The multiplicative axiom we get because left Kahn extension is defined as a colimit. And since we're looking at here working with functors that take values in chain complexes, our colimits kind of commute with tensor products in a nice way. And so that's going to give us the weak equivalence that we need for the multiplicative axiom. And in like the 3 minutes I have left, I want to give a hand-wavy gist of how the descent works, because I think that's the most interesting part of this proof. So showing the descent condition. So so the descent condition, like bullet point two up there, is what we want to show for this new functor that we've defined by taking the left Kahn extension. And our strategy to show that this is a weak equivalence is going to be to change the right-hand side by doing using functors that will change the indexing category of our homotopy colimit into something that's a little bit more manageable. And I'm just going to say what the result is of this. So we want to change this to be a colimit over a category that I'm going to call U hat. This is from our Weiss cover of X. And so this is going to be, I guess this is like not so much of a definition, but I'm going to kind of be hand-wavy. But it's a full subcategory of the overcategory of X. So we have kind of like all these maps from a G-manifold Y into X, which are subordinated to our Weiss cover U, meaning that they are going to like factor through some map UA, FA, that's in the Weiss cover U. So here, like philosophically, what we're doing is we're taking our Weiss cover and then we're looking at refinements of it. And this makes sense as something that we could do with factorization algebras, because factorization algebras have this like local to global property. So like taking refinements is something that's like in the spirit of factorization algebras. And then, okay, we're going to look at this map from this like refinement of our like Weiss cover. This is going to be like a full subcategory of G-man over X. We can like forget the fact that we have a map into X, and then we just have some in G-man, then we can apply our F to it and get something in chain complexes. And kind of like the gist of what this proof does is it translates this descent axiom, the fact that we want to have f of x be weakly equivalent to this homotopy colimit, into a condition on how this functor behaves with this inclusion of this like category coming from the Weiss cover. So it translates it into asking that this functor is weakly equivalent to taking like the pullback and then the push forward along this functor. So it's like you are pulling it back to the local cover things, and then you're pushing it forward and like taking a colimit to arrive back at there. And so we can translate our descent axiom into that like kind of like pull push like definition. And then knowing that f hat satisfies the descent axiom, satisfies this like pull push operation up here, and knowing that our f is just defined by taking the left con extension of f hat, we can take that like structure that we have up top and extend it down to the bottom and get the descent condition for f. So I'm out of time to tell more details of the story, but I'd be happy to talk more later. But I think that's where I want to stop for today. Thank you.
Questions? Do you ever think about, like in light of Andy's talk, replacing the group G by G to M? So the infinitesimal action is homotopy trivializations?
I haven't thought about this yet. Can you elaborate a little bit more? So this would be asking, or like wanting to look at like the smoothness of the action, or no, is it something?
So like you have an action, but then when you differentiate it, you get an action of the Lie algebra, mm-hmm. and you want to have cochain homotopies trivializing the Lie algebra action. This kind of thing you've heard in Andy's talk, this was...
Yeah, I haven't thought about that yet, but that's an interesting direction to think about. Yeah. Aaron.
So maybe you said this, but it seems like in district, you can only take certain disjoint unions, right? Like by, like if you take two opens that happen to overlap in M, then you can't take their monoidal product.
No, you can't. So that's where this is like the formal disjoint union. So I'm not thinking of these opens as like, okay. Yeah, so when I guess like how to parse the definition, I'm not saying that like thinking of them as open subsets of M that they're disjoint. I'm saying given open subsets of M, you take their disjoint union. And then like they're no, yeah. So like.
So nothing should be multiply covering M is the kind of the.
So you allow things that look like M disjoint union M. So like you can have things that
okay.
I think do multiple.
It's while we were just whispering together.
Yeah.
So she takes like the over category of M. She takes its full category of those objects. She closes that for disjoint unions.
Right.
And that's
now
what she's calling disjoint M.
Got it.
And that's why she can say these so cleanly.
Yeah.
So couldn't you say? You could have said what you originally said, which is a multi-category.
Yes.
You force it to be a symmetric norm category in the universal way. This is what.
Yeah, which is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that. Any more questions? All right, let's thank the speaker.